We are blessed to have Mike and Michelle Fries, our missionaries to Cambodia, back with us. It's been since 2019, I think the last time they were here. And we had the privilege last night of saying hi to the church there in Cambodia. They taught us how to say hello, and the church there was like, how do they know that, right? And so they had to let them in. But what a blessing that God is using them in Cambodia, and it's really great to see the church that God is establishing there. And so thankful that for your willingness to serve the Lord. And their kids are all graduated now, dropped the last one off at Bob Jones, and I look forward to see how God will use you as you go back. But thank you for serving the Lord, and come and minister a word to us.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Our kids are no longer with us, but they're definitely still with us verbally and emotionally, and we interact with them on a regular basis. But yeah, it's different not having them around, but we praise the Lord for the opportunities they have. I want to say thank you again to this church for supporting us for 26 years. That's a long time. For those of you who don't know, we are church planting missionaries in Cambodia, and the way we are supported is churches and like-minded individuals and family support us to be a minister over there in Cambodia to explain the gospel, and then to say show that there's local churches is God's plan, and to see fellowship and growth and encouragement in that. I did not say this morning, and I try to say this on a regular basis, but I want to tell you, I didn't say it in the Sunday school, but I want to tell you about all the great things I have done in Cambodia over the past couple of years. Nothing. I'm doing very similar what this pastor here is doing on a weekly basis. Preparing God's Word, teaching the Bible, preaching, witnessing, trying to get in the lives of people. I'm just doing it, Michelle's doing it, in a foreign culture, in a different language. And so please don't think those pictures you saw earlier are by our wisdom or finesse or great techniques. We try this, and God works and provides in different ways. So one missionary asked me, what have you found to be successful in Swahilian? And I said to him, probably a little bit sarcastically and a little bit cheesy, but I said, there isn't anything that's successful. You try, and God provides, and God works in hearts. And so we are connecting with individuals, and we've witnessed to them for a long time, and we're still witnessing to them. And we connect, and we're connecting with our neighbors, and you know, a lot of different things about, I mean, I just talk on and on. I thought you were going to go down the story of our neighbor, our village leader, but we're trying to connect with neighbors and people, and teachers and college and high school teachers are what I am closest to, because they're teachers. They understand that teaching isn't a job that people usually do for money. They're the lower end, though they do make some money here and there, but it's a joy to teach people, and it's an honor to be on your behalf in Cambodia teaching people about God. One of the things that surprised me about ministry, and I know this is going to be really basic. One of the things that hit me, I should say, I assumed that going to Cambodia, there wouldn't be as many hypocrites in Christianity. I know that's, but it's a human thing. And so this past term, that was just like, why am I so frustrated with some of these church folks that don't want to study the Bible, that aren't faithful, that they come regularly, say they're Christians, but there's nothing to them. I'm just like, ugh. I didn't think Cambodians would have hypocritical Christians or people that call themselves Christians, and they do in Cambodia as well. And so that was kind of an eye-opening thing for me. But we have a church, and I'm thankful for that. We're meeting, even though we're here, and the opportunity to minister to them. And we had 6-8 adults coming regularly with some college people coming. And then Christmas of 23, we had a huge big get-together, and for some reason, several of them just dropped off from then on. I don't know why. I don't know, but our teaching method hasn't changed. We're using the Bible. We're singing songs. We're doing pretty much the same thing we're doing, but So we are thankful for the 3 to 5 adults, and there's neighbor kids that are coming, and some of the parents, they bring their children as well, so we're blessed to be able to minister and serve. Michelle's junior church, which she has, sometimes has a 2-year-old, sometimes 10-year-olds, and all between 6, 7, or 2 or 3, who knows. But let me pray, ask God's blessing on this time, and that my words would be for His glory. Father, I thank You for so many blessings that You have provided. Forgive us for overlooking those things and not thanking You for them and praising You for Your kindness and goodness. Thank You for churches that meet together and that care for one another and care for the gospel to go forward in their local area and around the world. There is a great need for Your gospel, and we are honored to be in Your fields of ministry. Please call more people into those fields, we pray, to serve. Bless in these moments, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the passages of Scripture that has been on my mind for several months, and if you ever want to understand a passage better, prepare a message or a lesson on it. And so this lesson is for me, and I hope you can benefit as well from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul starts off asking a bunch of questions. In verse 1, 2, 3, am I not an apostle? He's asking questions. He's not asking because he doesn't know. He's asking questions to refute their accusations against him. And it's kind of like, whoa, yeah, he's not really happy. And he's responding back to these people with, listen here. Look what I've accomplished. Look what God's done. Look what I've suffered. Look what's been done here. And as you get down to verse 19, he really shows his heart. And that's what I'm going to speak on, is this mindset that Paul has in ministering and serving to people. So the theme here is that there's a life following God means a life bent towards others. And so verse 19 to verse 23, you've heard this passage, it's familiar, but I still want to get my hands around this. What it means to minister to people who think they're Christians in Cambodia, and I want to celebrate that they at least profess they know Jesus. That's not often. You know, maybe 5%, 2% that would claim to be, maybe less. Actually, statistically, it's less than 1%. But God brings these people along. I was at the post office. This is not my notes, but I was at the post office, and I, you know, sometimes it's like, where do you start talking to people about the Lord? You know, you see them on a regular basis, and I just gave them a track and said, hey, have you ever studied about God? He was one-on-one at the post office. Long pause. And I tried to keep my mouth shut at those long pauses. He opens the drawer and pulls out a Bible. This is Cambodia, okay? You know, God is doing things in the lives of people. And I'm like, okay, Ratamak. He used to lead singing in another province. He has a Bible in his drawer. You know, okay, Lord, I wasn't expecting that. But, no, he hasn't come to church yet. He doesn't go to church. But I'm trying to minister to people and love them and point them to a great God who died on the cross for them, but who will one day judge people who do not genuinely have faith in Him. It's Jesus that's going to judge them. Anyway, that was extra. We have friends. We have people we're trying to connect with, sellers around us. Here, Paul, I think, points us and reminds us we love God, loving God, loving people. Loving God's a lot easier, some of you would have to admit. Loving people is hard and challenging at times. But we see here that Paul's bent is to love others and people. So he's trying to defend himself. In verse 19, after all these kind of emotional passages, kind of really not going along with this theme, but he's just like, listen, guys, here's my heart. And this is a heart I think all of us should have. For though I am free from all men, I have made, verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. Paul's why, his thoughts about what he does. He's serving, I'm free from all men, but I have made myself a servant to all. He's trying to serve all people. There are some people that are easy to serve, but he doesn't target some. He targets all. Why is he doing this? To win the more. He's not in a competition to prove he's better or to win him over. He's trying to gain, some translations say gain, not a personal gain, but to see people benefit from the truth of the knowledge of God. He has a mind of service. My first thought here is a mind of service to all. A heart of living for others, not thinking mainly of oneself. I don't teach that this morning because I figured this out, but it's God's truth for our life, and I would like to flesh this out. It's not being a servant here, verse 19, I've made myself a servant to all. Not like a servant, like being a maid, or just following them and trying to help them as all you can. I like to think of it as more like serving them, like, it's not to make their life easier, but to like make their life better in knowing God and knowing His salvation through Jesus Christ. So I like to think of it as like serving people like a parent or a grandparent. That, yeah, we want them to be happy and have some joy, but to know better things and to look higher and to look at others. And most importantly, look at God. This is exactly what Jesus did, went around healing people, but this wasn't His main purpose. He oftentimes told people, don't tell them, I healed you, the woman at the well. His trying to be a servant to all. Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. A party with tax collectors. Yeah, that's not my first choice. Let's have a church fellowship. That's my zone. That's there. I like that. Story of a prodigal son, of a father reaching out to a child like that. Jesus was surprisingly welcoming to the lost. Now you can say, well, I'm not Jesus, and we aren't. We don't have Jesus' power to heal, but with God's help, we can minister and serve others and have a life bent towards other people and serving them. And this is the mindset I think all of us know that we should have as God's servant. Sincerity, a mindset that Paul had, who knew he was the chiefest of sinners. Grabbing people, persecutor, even murdering, in some cases seeing them go to the dungeon, that he realizes that his life needs to love God and to love others and to serve them. Because we have been shown the greatest love through the cross of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice on our behalf, something we could never deserve. It's a service for all. And verse 20 down to verse 22 says that it will lead us to live differently. Verse 20, and to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those under the law, as under the law, that I might win those under the law. I think verse 20, as a Jew and under the law, pretty much speaking to the same thing. In my opinion, that's one group there, just trying to focus them. But then verse 21, then the people who aren't Jews, to those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that love that to love our neighbor as ourself, that royal law, that I might win those who are without law. Verse 22, to the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Paul is a Jew, but knows that now he's no longer under those legal obligations as a Jew. But he tries to minister to people who are Jews. And then non-Jews as well. And then those who are, I believe that verse, what he's talking about, the weak, there's weak in understanding, like that book of Corinthians, which we're in right now, who have got some weaknesses in their life. And it's much easier to come at them with a whip than it is to love them. And that's hard. people who claim to be Christians and have nothing to do with the Bible or church or anything. And we see them in Swahidian. What do you do with them? We pray for them. And that's tough. But it's a life bent towards others means living different than what we would naturally like to be living like. So women, there will be women that will dress very different, have piercings and lots of changes that are different from the world, tattoos and stuff and hair and all that. But will you look past those things to the need of their heart to try and connect with people and others? Men, the world is consumed in gaming and sports and partying and drinking, and it's hard in Cambodia to navigate some of that to try and connect with these guys. But it's what I believe this has called us to try to be to these people, and obviously not joining in their sin, but trying to be a servant. These habits will destroy their lives. Some of them will cause a lot of problems for the future. But if God doesn't save them, their life will be in eternity in hell, far worse than pain here. One of the hurdles for me, this is a couple of years ago, but I still see him. A good friend of mine named Ta, we tried to have him and his wife over for a meal, and that just blows up every time. It just doesn't work. And sometimes we invite them and the kids, bring your parents, and then the kids show up and the parents don't. So Ta and his wife, I invited them both. I know them both. And I'm like, bring your kids. You know, we'll have pizza. Cambodians, you're starting to like pizza. We'll have pizza. So I said, Michelle, if she comes and he comes, then you sit with us. If he comes by himself, I'll sit with him. If he just brings his kids and him, then we'll all sit together. And then he does an option that I didn't even think of. He brought his brother-in-law. Just him and his brother-in-law. Very friendly. 7 days a week, 12 hours a day he works, hard working. He's well off, drives a nice car. He's very generous with me. And I went to buy a couple things from him. I know he's giving them to me at cost. He's not jipping me. I'm just like, man, please make a profit. I'll send stuff. Well, he wasn't there that day. And I'm like, wait a minute, where is Ta at? His wife is looking at me sheepishly. What do you want to buy? I'm like, where's Ta? He's always here. And the worker next door said his wife had a baby last night. You didn't have a baby. I didn't say that. But he was just like, oh, no. He's got another wife. Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to buy a fill in the blank here. Okay, thank you. You know, I'm just like, whoa. I wasn't expecting this. Him and his wife are about my age, in their 50s. So when I was like, wait a minute. When he said that, I was just like, can I just leave real quickly? How do you witness and friend a guy who's got two wives? I know we're not in Utah. That's not legal yet, but I do think it's in the future in America. That's hard for me. But I have to look past that to try and serve him, because his greatest problem isn't having a second wife or his immorality, which most men are immoral in Cambodia, but their need of a savior. That's hard. That's just, it goes against my flesh, you know. And I saw him just a few weeks before we came back. And like I said, he's a hardworking guy. I have to go there at a time when he's down. Otherwise, he's just so busy. Don't think we have this down to a science. I would love to have more answers on how to set aside your feelings to try and befriend somebody that's different than you. Serving people when we want to change their actions, words, thoughts. When we want to just pinch them and say, wake up, come on. Now, you probably won't have that next door, but you will have people that you're working with, related to, that you know, former whatever, friends, classmates, that are living lives that are, you know, destructive and heading to destruction. But Jesus, our example, is saving and working, with people who are weak. Living different means we talk different about our passions. We use our time different. We're doing something by purpose and design to try to bridge, to serve other people. For Paul, this is trying to help. Is Paul being hypocritical here? He's just being two-faced. He's trying to, you know, not being his true self. I would say he's not being his true self, but he wants to be his best self. He wants to do all he can to try and connect with people to share the gospel, that some would be saved. That by all means, save some. We strive for this in Michelle. Michelle and I strive for this in Cambodia. We try to connect with people. We try to do morning exercises at 5 a.m. And those grandkids calling at 9 and 10 p.m. at night makes that hard. And it sounds cheesy, but that's probably the best reason why we can't go on a regular basis. But, we're connecting and trying to reach people at morning exercise or coffee, trying to be in their lives. When we're trying, God does things that we're not expecting. And I praise the Lord that He's got a bigger plan than what our limited thoughts are of ministry in Cambodia. And, I mean, I would love for these guys that I showed pictures of all to grow in the Lord and be teaching the Bible. Anyway, that's another story. God will work. I don't know what that will mean in your life and how those changes will take place or what God will work. I could list off, 10 things maybe or whatever, but some of those don't. All of us are in different stages of life and different abilities, different joys, different talents. For me, God has been working in my life to slow me down because I want to be efficient. Life in Cambodia is a lot slower. It takes a lot of time. Man, I want to do this and this and this and this and this in ministry, I got to slow down and talk and listen. And that's how God's been using this passage in my own life. You may want to think of the people in Cambodia as hardworking and loving, they're just poor, and there are some like that. But just like in America, there are people who are very self-centered, people there in Cambodia who are very greedy, very immoral, living for pleasure, could not concerned at all for the family. But it's those type of people that we are called to, and that many times all of us, even in America, are called to as well. Being intentional with the areas of our life. If you need help in this, ask God to help you. What a cool thing. God wants to see you and me serve God better. What a crazy thought. But if you want to pray for us about that too, that'd be good as well. I appreciate it. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for your pastor. That we would be in the lives of others and be wise and discerning. Verse 23, I have no idea what time it is and what time I'm supposed to end, but okay, I, this is point three, but I'd love to just preach the whole message on verse 23. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. What's he doing? What's the it there? Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you, the gospel ministry. Now this I do, the do is all that stuff that he's talked about 19 through 22, trying to serve people, trying to be in their lives, this people, I need to emphasize this, I need to make sure and do this, that I may be a partaker of it. Is he talking about getting saved, him? No, he's a Christian. But he wants to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Other translations, partaker or participant in it. That Paul wants to be a participant in what God is doing. There's joy in serving God. And young people, I hope you have the joy of serving God full time, as much as you can. Overseas, there's joy in serving God. We talk about some hardships. I hope we talked about joy and seeing some lives changed. We don't see as many people trust in Christ as we'd like to. Surprise. But there is joy that God provides along the way, and that comes from a life of serving Him. Now this I do, verse 23. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. That he might have joy, a sense of purpose, a contentment in life, in the serving and ministering. Paul has a life that's not easy. But he does say, rejoice in the Lord always. He tries this. He's ministering to the weak. He's ministering to the Jews. You know, look at all the times he's trying to talk to the Jews about, look, this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is Jesus. You know, I would get kind of angry with him by the 10th time. If you want a decent job in life, whatever your profession, serve the Lord. Be involved. Make yourself a servant, verse 19, a servant to all, that I might win the more, that some would hear. Some of these people, that one guy, this not up here, were the first Christians he met. But I know that God isn't, we're just a pawn there. It's not because of our technique. Other people have been involved in Christianity to some degree, and we're trying to encourage them in the Lord. God's plan is huge, and we're a piece in the puzzle. We love to have coworkers to come over and help. There's plenty of ministry opportunities in Swidian, people to follow up and continue on with. The it here in verse 23, gospel ministry and reaching to people's lives. Paul wants to be a part of what God is doing. And I know that's my life. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And I would love for each of you to also have that joy. Serve the Lord with your life. To be overseas, praise the Lord. There is a joy in explaining about God and that Almighty God who is righteous and will judge sin. And that's a great thing for Cambodians to hear, because there's injustice all around us. There's injustice and they know it. Corruption. Wow, God will judge. But you know what? That part they really exceed, but the second part of us being sinners. But we've fallen short of what God's perfect plan, God's perfect standard for our lives, and we are sinners. We are sinners. We deserve judgment. God is righteous, we're sinners. But Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that's the part that's the hard part. God, oh yeah, I like that idea about God being loving and kind and all that. But sin and judgment is also what Cambodians need, and what people around you as well need. To know, not just that God is loving, but God is a righteous God and does judge people. Some of the problems in life now happen because of bad mistakes and problems, but one day full judgment will be given by a righteous Savior who died for people who rejected Him. An awesome thought, but yeah, Jesus loves, but you have to turn to Him in faith and believe in Him in this life before you die, or you'll one day face Him as judge. That's a message that we have to communicate in a loving as best as we can, and being a servant. I invite you as a church, no matter what your age, to be a part of this joy of serving God in whatever area that He would provide. Oh Lord, I thank You for Your Word. To see Paul's heart in service, may that be a part of all of our lives, to commit ourselves to being a servant, to being a witness, to being a missionary to the areas in our life, a teacher, an evangelist. O Lord, work and guide, I pray. May we know that joy of being a partaker of what You are doing in this world. And because of Your Son, for Your glory, we pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.